Can we open, please, to Hosea chapter 11 and then verse 8. It says, "How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Adma? How can I treat you like Zeboim? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender." The whole book of Hosea is really talking about how, probably many of you know, but Israel has gone away and started following other idols, other gods. So God told his prophet, Hosea, go take yourself a wife of whoredom. And then they had a couple of kids together, and then she left. And then in Hosea 3 it says, "And the Lord said to me, 'Go again, love a woman who is loved by another man, who is an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the children of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love cakes of raisin.' So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a letek of barley." In Leviticus 27, we can see it's God told the nation of Israel what each servant is worth if you were going to buy a slave or you were going to redeem them. It says that specifically an individual like her would be worth 30 silvers. But it says, "I went and bought her for 15. Really shows how low she went, how low she sank in the eyes of the whole society. And maybe we can all be like that. We can sink very, very low in the eyes of anyone. That even like we're not worth in a way what we think that society puts us. Society can label us, we're worth this amount or that amount, but maybe we don't even feel that we're that worth that. But God is saying, "How can I give you up? As you, many of you know, we go to Richmond a lot, and there are a lot of very, very different people there, in many different individuals. A lot of college students, Many, whatever you can think of, really. And we had this conversation not so long ago, and we have many like that. They came up and we told them the gospel, and these three individuals were like, "Will we go to hell because we're homosexuals? Am I? Is God going to send me to hell?" And just explain the love of God is to people who maybe never felt love before. They don't know what it means when someone loves them, really. And just giving them a hug and them just having tears is something that just cannot compare to anything else. You know, there's a story in 2 Kings. I fail to recall it exactly where it is. But Assyria came and they attacked Israel, the nation of Israel. And they fought in the hills. Israel beat them very, very bad. So they went home and they mustered up another army. They're like, "We need some more. Let's gather our men." And the king was like, "But they just beat us so bad." They said to the men, "Yeah, but they have a God who's the God of the hills, but not of the valleys. So let's go and attack them in the valley." And God was like, "Because you said that, because they said that I am the God of the hills, but I'm not God of the valleys, you're going to destroy them." And they came, and they got destroyed.
Yay, God.
One day I came before church and I felt really, really guilty about something, and I just wanted to pray in the student lounge before just to prepare for service. And I just read John 15 before that about maybe chastisement, and you know the chapter. And I just came to God and I was praying, like, God, okay, I'm ready. Like, if this is your way of your chastisement, then let's do it, you know? I'm ready. As I'm kneeling there, he came to me like the father running to the prodigal son. How can I leave you, O Ephraim? My heart recoils within me. The compassion grows within me. How can I leave you? He's a loving father. He doesn't want to come and beat you up. Oh, my heart grows compassionate within me. And you see him running towards you, and you suddenly feel the love that just surrounds you, and it just overwhelms you like nothing before. And then you're just there and crying your eyes out, and you're like, Job, that I've heard of you with the hearing of the ears, but now my eyes see you. My eyes see you. How you run towards me when I don't feel worthy at all. I don't feel worthy to come into your presence. But how can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I give you up? And that is just so the heart of God for us all and everyone on the street. And they don't know about that. You have all the get better, better yourself, all this motivation, how to get better. But what if it fails? And what if people fail you? They need to hear that. How can I give you up? How can I give you up? My heart just grows so compassionate within me. This is such a message it's not heard. And in Hebrews 2, we see that every transgression and every disobedience has received a just retribution. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? There's nothing like this. We cannot escape unless we go and accept that God's running towards us. There's nothing we can do. There's no self-bettering. There's no anything that we can do. But how shall we escape if we neglect such great salvation? This great salvation that, how can I give you up? How can I give you up? And that's how God's running towards you. And that is just my prayer, that we would all see that, not just hear with the hearing of the ears, but that we would see him with our eyes. And that's just an experience that changes your life forever. God, thank you. Just let us see you. Open the eyes of our understanding, God. That you won't give us up. Thank you. That your heart grows compassion within you. That you love everyone, everyone. Not even our sin can separate us from God. Not even that. And that when we're worthless, you come running towards us, loving again. When we feel worthless, God.
Our next speaker is Erhan. He's from Istanbul, Turkey, and Pastor Roger and Alvira years ago went to Turkey and found him, or the Lord brought him, and then he started studying Bible school in Istanbul, classes online and live classes at Pastor Roger. How long ago was that, Pastor Roger? 3.5 years ago, yeah. 85 million people in Turkey, and this, you know, young man, has a focus and in his heart. This is his second year with us here, and at the end of this year, he'll be going back to Turkey, maybe starting having a tea house, like a coffee house, a tea house in Izmir, maybe, and then using it to share the faith and teach Bible school, and so we really want to remember him in our prayers and really be right behind him in what God has for him. So you've all heard of Billy Graham, right? Okay, remember this name, Erhan. Okay, say it to your neighbor. Erhan, remember Erhan. Go ahead. Remember Erhan. Okay, welcome him.
Thank you, Pastor. Yeah, it was great message from Jambor, and it's great to be here. Let's pray for a message, and then we will start. Thank you, Lord, for your heart, for your love, for your, Lord, loving kindness. You never forsake us, Lord. You never left us, Lord. Thank you for that. You saved the Muslims. You love the Muslim. You love the every people, Lord. Thank you for everything in your precious name. Amen. Yeah, I love that message Jambor shared, right? God didn't send his son to condemn people, but save people through him. And all other gods condemn the people. That's interesting. You can check out all other gods around the world. They condemn people. They says, you are not good enough. Yeah, we know that. We are not good. But we need something different. We need something that really like says, I will never forgive, I will never forget you, I will never forsake you. You know, we need a God like that. And that's the Christ we can see. I love the message that Pastor Scheller shared. I read Romans 5, verse 1 to 11. And I see there, like, we really forget God. We really his enemy. We far from him. We didn't understand his heart. You know, we didn't knew him. But he revealed himself to us. And I remember Jeremiah 2. I'm going to share from that chapter. If you want, would you like, you can follow me. Jeremiah 2, verse 1, it says, the word of the Lord came upon to me, saying, go, proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem. Thus God says the Lord, I remember the devotion of your youth, your love as a bride. Have you followed me in the wilderness, in land not sown? We saw that God says, I remember you. You know, I remember you. I remember your devotion. I remember your youth. I remember how you followed me. It's talking about like when God, through Moses, used his as a tool to brought out his people in the wilderness, in the Egypt. And we know in the Egypt is represent the world. And we know the wilderness is like their decision, their faith, love, and life. Do they are going to follow the Lord or they are going to their ways? And it's amazing that we see, like, God says, I remember you. Malachi 3:16, right? I'm writing everything about you. It's amazing. Like, God says, I know everything about you. I know your name. I know your youth. I know your devotion. I know your love. And it is kind of first year of our faith. When we came, Lord, like, we have a first love. You know, we love Bible. We love church. We love our pastors. We love everything about the Word of God, you know. We have a, like, that desire. And God is kind of says, I remember how I saved you, how I brought you from the wilderness. And the verse 3, it says, Israel was holy to the Lord, the first fruit of his harvest. All who ate of his incurred guilt, disaster came upon them, declared the Lord. It says, like, it was my first fruit. Like Genesis 12, we know that God called Abraham. And Abraham become like father of the whole nation. That was a first fruit that God wants to reveal his loving kindness to the other nation. That's why he called Abraham. And we see that, like, it says, you're holy to me. Because Abraham, when God called him, he, by faith, he believed. And God accepted this as a righteousness to him. And that's the first fruit that God called Israel as his first fruit. But there's something in that. Verse 4, it says, hear the word of the Lord, O house of the Jacob, and all descendants of the house of Israel, says the Lord. What wrong did your fathers find in me that they went far from me? What was wrong you find in me that you went the other ways? I brought you. I loved you. You know, like Pastor Shadow shared the First John verse 4:10, he says, first, God says, first, I love you, right? I loved you. And Jeremiah 31, verse 3, we see the God says, like, I love you with eternal love. And he brought us, he saved us. But it's a kind of like when things is good, when circumstances are fine, we see that God's people kind of went their ways, and they kind of forget what God did for them. And that's the relationship that God says, what did you find wrong in me? What did you find wrong in my character? You know, like you go your ways. And it's easy for us to be like that. And verse 6, they did not say, where is the Lord who brought us up from the land of Egypt? They didn't say, they forget. Verse 6, and I brought you into the plentiful land to enjoy its fruits and its good things. But when you came in, you defile my land. How you can defile God's land? What's mean that? It means I set apart you for myself. You become a holy for my purpose, for my call, because I want to reveal my loving kindness to the other people. But you, I brought you into the dead promised land, you defiled. You defied in your worship. You defied in your heart. You went after the other gods with small g. They didn't save you. You forget. But this is when things is good, right? When things good, they did like that. But actually in the Exodus 3, I saw when they're under the bondage, how they react to the word of God. Exodus 3, verse 7, then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in the Egypt, and I have heard their cry. Because of their taskmaster, I know their suffering, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptian and to bring them up out of the dead land. It says, I heard your cry. I heard your suffering. I came down, and Christ came down to us. We in the world kind of like cried like that. We says, God, like, where are you? You know, we try to understand God. We try to find him. We ask the question, what's the meaning of life? You know, not just we, but every nation asks that. And the other gods not help the people. They put them under the bondage. It's like Egypt. It's like the world, wilderness, world system, world mind. But only Christ, he came and he didn't condemn us. He showed way to us. We find grace upon to grace. Even if we forsake him, like in Romans 5, he says, we far from him, we forget him, we forsake him. But we see in Jeremiah, God says, I remember you. I was there. I was with you. I was with you in the beginning. I was with you. So I know your name. I know your devotion. I know your youth. I know your love. And when I remember this, like I read, when Pastor Shara shared the message, I says, wow, like I think like that. Because, lastly, I have a sister, like, one day we went to park, and she has a brake list, and she felt that, and it fell into the mud, and we tried to find it, like, it took, like, a 5 minutes to find. So we together dig, and we find it. So it was, like, dirty, but she cleaned it, and she still keep it. So that's the picture that really God, like, showed to us, like, in the Jeremiah 2, like you are in the mud, you try to get out, but I am way to help you. You are gold to me. You are important to me. Even if you are in the mud, you know what? I cleanse you. Christ came, right? I cleanse you. And 1 Corinthians 13:13, we see three things, right? We see faith, we see hope, and we see the love. And those three abide. But one is like, it says about love is going to be eternal, right? It's going to be still there. Because faith is like really keep us in the Lord, in this world, in that life. We see hope. We have a hope that we're going to see Christ. But at the same time, we have a love which is over them. You know why? Because in the Revelation 21, we will have eternity. We will have an eternity in heaven with His love. It is going to be like take it forever. That's why like His love never forsake us. That's because of He did covenant with Abraham, with His people, right? Genesis 12, Exodus 12. Those are eternal covenant. It is not old, because God did. And it's amazing that we remember. We came to church because we need. God is not condemn us. And JB says, like, we saw people, right? We cry for them. We love them. It's like that. We didn't condemn the world, but we showed Savior to them. He says, this is the way. Because judgment is not our business, but God wants to us be light and salt. So that's why, like, when I save by small faith of somebody came Turkey, they said, we believe Christ. Like, Pastor Roger and his wife, they came and they serve. Now his son is there with the Liz, with the family. They serve. So somebody will get saved. We don't know, but God knows. And God's kind of like the way that he touch us, touch our life. And I am so thankful to be here. And, you know, in difficulties, in good times, bad times, praise the Lord. If we have a God, I heard from this pulpit, if we have a God, we have everything. We try to learn that, be content. And that's the sanctification. It takes time. It's not going to be happen easily, but God is faithful to hold us. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Herhan. Wow. It's very encouraging. Can you, with your neighbor, go over three or four or five things that he shared? Jambor also. Remember, the prostitute was bought for 15 shekels. Remember that? How can I give you up? Low value. How can I give you up? Then what we just heard, Jeremiah 2, verses 1 through 7. Also at Exodus chapter 3, wasn't it? Exodus 3, 7 and 8, okay? So you got a little homework to do right now before we hear Josh, so go for it. What did he say? Turn to your neighbor. What did he say? Hey, do you think God is the God of the mountains only? How about it? He is the God of the mountains and the God of the cellar, let's see, the God of the valley, God of the, what? Bankruptcy, cancer, death, sorrow, tragedy. Is he in the valley? Is he the God of the valley or only the God of the mountains? Is he only God in the happy days when everything is good, or is he God? Is he God? Does he love you when you're doing good? Like Lennon is over there. Lennon is doing good. And only when Lennon is good, God is good. But how about when Lennon is the other way? Like the people in the front row down here. He is a God. Hey, wow, isn't that amazing? He's the God of the valley also. When we had COVID, we kind of shut down for some weeks, and then Scotty Dupe said, Pastor Shell, if you got any guts, you'll preach up on the rooftop. And I said, well, you give me up there, and I will. So the helicopter showed up, and we went up there, and Josh Harris was a song leader. His aunt was here this morning also, right? Your aunt was here. Welcome him. What a blessing he is to us.
Wow, thank you, guys. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Pastor. Hey, I was just thinking about a song, just thinking of meditating on this theme all day, as I'm sure we all were, right? That it'll never leave us. And then as JB was sharing the hills and the valleys, I just couldn't shake it. I knew I had to do it. It's fun, so... isn't it? Ain't no mountain high, ain't no valley low, ain't no river wide enough, baby. And we love this. We love this. We love this theme. People, we just love this idea that, like, hey, no matter what, I'm going to love you, right? No matter what, I'm going to love you. And doesn't he? I mean, people, we don't, right? We'll sing a song about it. We'll write lots of love songs about it and hit the Billboard number one charts. But God actually does it, right? He actually does it. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. So, and I was thinking, too, I just love the worship was really ministered to by the worship, Pastor Sturge and you guys. Thank you, guys. And one of the lyrics of the songs, it says, in every season, I know you love me. In every season, I know you love me. And we sing that and we just like, we relax, we rest in it. We rejoice in it. It gives us such comfort. And this is that love wherein we're satisfied. This is that faithful love wherein we can find contentment in every season. I've learned in whatever state I'm in to be content because I can be content with such things as I have because I have God who will never leave me, never forsake me, promises that there's no mountain high, there's no valley low, there's no river too wide that he won't cross it. There's no room that I could run into and lock all the doors and hide that he's not going to walk through the walls and show me his scars, right? And it's the finished work that convinces us. It's the cross of Jesus, the finished work that gives us this comfort, that persuades us, really. And that's what we want to say is that God is with us, God is for us, and the cross persuades us. Friends, if he didn't leave the cross, he's not going to leave you. He didn't leave the cross, he's not going to leave me. Love endures all things, and all means all. Love endures all things, and we can endure. We can run with endurance the race, looking unto him who endured the cross. He endured it in love, and that same love that held him there is that same love that keeps him with us. No matter where we go, no matter what we do, no matter what state we're in, he's with us. And he's for us, and we're persuaded. But there are times, and the reason that the Bible hits this theme so many times is because there are times that we doubt it. There are times that we, like David, might pray a prayer, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I'd also like to bring your attention to a time that Israel was saying this in Isaiah chapter 49. If you would turn with me, Isaiah 49 and verse 14. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. The Lord replies, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. And look at this next part. Remember, it's the cross that persuades us. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Amazing. In the context of contemplating, maybe, you know, he's forgotten about me. Maybe there's someone here tonight who feels forgotten, forsaken. Friends, look at his hands. How can he who spared not his only son not with him also freely give us all things? He's with us. He's for us. And the cross persuades us. If he didn't leave the cross, he's not going to leave me. If he didn't leave the cross, he's not going to leave you. And there are times that we can leave. We can run away. The disciples ran. Jesus was arrested and the disciples forsook him. But he's the one who walks through the walls to those same disciples and shows his scars. We could say, get away from me, God. Get away. I don't want anything to do with you, God. Peter said, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. We could feel that way because of our anger. We could feel that way because of our sin. Get away from me. But what does Jesus reply? He said, no. Like JB shared, how can I? I can't. I literally can't. My name is Emmanuel, God with us. That's against my name, my nature. I can't. How can I? I can't do it. But I'll tell you what I will do, Pete. I'll tell you what I will do. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. I'm going to love you. Just let me love you. I'm going to keep loving you. No matter what you do, you're going to deny me three times. But guess what? I'm going to keep loving you. And then, you know, this love is going to grow and going to grow. And when you are old, you'll go where you do not wish. And man, it's going to be amazing. The end of the story is incredible. The transformation of God's love, because he stays with us. He never leaves us. And we can say with Paul in Romans chapter 8, we can say, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, look, there's nothing. There ain't no mountain high. There ain't no valley low. There isn't a river wide enough that he's not going to be with me. There's nothing that can separate me from the love of God. I'll say it again. There's nothing that can separate me. I'm persuaded. I'm convinced. Are you tonight? I'm convinced. I'm persuaded because the cross made me persuaded. His love made me persuaded. Those nail-pierced hands, those scars in his palms, they've persuaded me that he won't forsake me. He is with me. He is for me. And he'll never leave. Amen. Amen. Amen.